Coming up on the Shelley Irwin Show podcast today, The Right Place has launched its 2026-2028 strategic plan. We take a look. Poet Laureate of Grand Rapids and board member of The Lit, Christine Krieger, joins in to talk about how you can help The Lit buy a historical building. Wedgwood Christian Services State of the Child event takes place next week. We get a preview. The Flower Power Charity Challenge happens February 27. We get a preview of that. And Michigander Barbara Stark presents her third book, Isabella's Way.
The Right Place has launched its 2026-2028 strategic plan. Looking forward to this conversation. President Randy Thalen, good morning, Randy.
Good morning, Shelley.
Good that we are together and talking about, 2028 will be here before we know it. Let's get this started.
Yeah, what do they say? The days are long, but the years go fast.
It gets worse as you age. Let's not digress. Randy, remind me, number one, of the good work of The Right Place.
Yeah, our core mission is to help grow this region in a quality way. We want to find ways to grow the job base that helps provide better job opportunities, better career opportunities for residents across the region. Ultimately, you know, if we can make more money at a better wage, the better quality of life people can enjoy.
How important is a strategic plan for what you and yours do?
Yeah, it's core to what makes The Right Place click. I actually think it's core to what makes the region click. If you look at economic development efforts across the country, sometimes they tend to be more fad-based. They come and go based on some hot topic of the day. The Right Place last year celebrated 40 years, and we've been doing strategic planning for 40 years. Over, you know, in three-year increments, kind of set a target where we want to go, where we want to grow, and what's the best way for us to get there. And so we're pleased to bring forward this latest plan.
Yes. Who is in the back room doing this? Who comes up with your strategic plan?
You know, it is sort of a collection of voices. We had almost just under 600 people, business leaders, community leaders, education leaders, coming together, weighing in on what are the core elements of a growth strategy for our region. We base it based on three pillars, Shelley. It's people, place, and prosperity are kind of the foundations of our economic development strategy. So we have talent initiatives, we have placemaking initiatives, and certainly job creation initiatives as well.
Yes. And is it available for public viewing?
It is. Rightplace.org is the website. If you poke around, you'll see the strategic plan there, along with all kinds of other information about our region and what makes us a unique place. And you know, this year, Shelley, with the strategic plan, really leaning into sort of this idea, it's time for us to elevate. We've come a long way over the last 40 years. We are now a different kind of market. We are benchmarking against some of the best in markets and regions across the country. It's no longer, you know, enough for us to measure against Lansing or Ann Arbor or Kalamazoo. We want to measure against Salt Lake City and Boise, Idaho and Raleigh, North Carolina, and see, you know, how do we compare against the best of the best markets of our size, or maybe markets just a touch bigger. It's a competitive landscape out there, regions competing for business, competing for jobs and opportunities, and we want to make sure we're elevating our game to keep pace.
Challenged, as you're quoted, to think and act bigger than ever before, so be careful what you wish for. What would be a couple of key highlights of the plan, Randy?
Yeah, I think on the people side, on our talent side, really leaning into getting more employers engaged with more education partners across the region. We know young people perform economically at a much higher clip if they have greater understanding and awareness of what career they want to pursue. So the young people that are at the high schools around town, the Kent ISD's Career Tech Education Center, the community college, or even our universities, the more exposure they get to more career opportunities, the more successful those young people are going to have in terms of picking their career pathway and then ultimately their performance in that career pathway, which means more income over their lifetime. I think another one would be identifying properties around the region that are primed for development that fit within community strategy and their master plans, fit within sort of the infrastructure capacity and capabilities of our region, and make for a natural next extension of growth for us. I think it's important for every, you know, region around the country, but particularly ours here at home, how and where will we grow into the future, and making sure we welcome that growth just as our parents and grandparents have done before us. And then on the job front, continue to diversify the economy. We are leaning into three core sectors. We're building off of our strengths in advanced manufacturing. We're building off of the success of the medical mile and the impact that's had all across the region, and building out a health science sector, and then continuing our work in the tech space where we know we have opportunities to grow. We've seen good growth, over 4,000 tech jobs since the tech strategy was launched about 40 years ago. So we're making good progress, but we need to do more.
Andy Thielen with us, president of The Right Place. A strategic plan has been released, 2026 to 2028. Half a step back, you did complete your 2023-2025 strategic plan, according to calendar, at the end of last year. Did you surpass some of your, if not all, key metrics?
We did, all of them, actually, Shelley. And those were stretch goals for the region, jobs, investment, wage goals for the region. And in each instance, we exceeded them, over 4,000 jobs over that three-year period, over $500 million of investment in that three-year window, and wages, starting wages that average more than $30 an hour. And what we, and all of those were incredible stretch goals. And what we've seen is the amount of investment, capital investment in each project has gone up substantially. The number of jobs per project has started to plateau a little bit. And as a result, the more capital intensive, the more skill required to operate those machines and those systems, the wages then have climbed. So maybe fewer, even though we hit our job goal, it was a more difficult challenge to hit that one than the other two. So we're seeing more investment, creating more high wage jobs than ever before.
Yes. What do you need from the community?
Finding ways to build on those that came before us. I think sometimes, you know, we've had a good run of success in this region. You know, we started 40 years ago at The Right Place. As I said, it's really been about 25 years of great economic growth and prosperity. Once we got through that great recession, we recovered pretty quickly. And now, as I said at the outset, it's time for us to elevate our sights and look at how we compare against the best markets around the country, continue to welcome investment, continue to welcome opportunity. That's what sets us apart over the last 30, 40 years, and that's what's going to set us apart over the next 30 or 40. So, like I said before, our parents and grandparents found ways to grow our region in a quality way. We need to continue that legacy and continue pushing forward.
Randy Thielen, where can we check out and get involved in forwarding your strategic plan, please?
Yeah, the best place is our website, rightplace.org. It's also posted on social media on LinkedIn and other outlets. So it's readily available. People can find their niche, and if they want to engage in our work and help grow the region, give us a call or drop us an email.
Yes. So the next one will reach into the 2030s. That's kind of scary.
It's going fast.
Let's enjoy today's moment, that's for sure. All right, Randy, take care. We'll talk again. Thank you.
Thank you. Take care, Shelley.
Poet laureate of Grand Rapids, board member of the Lit, Christine Stevens Krieger in the house, discussing the Lit and how we, the community, can help. It's a wonderful place. It's on the National Register of Historic Places. Christine, good morning to you.
Good morning, Shelley. Thank you for having me.
So many hats you wear, of course.
Oh, yeah.
It's all about the Lit. Poet laureate, tell me more.
Right. Well, it's a pretty exciting time to be the poet laureate, I think. There's so much happening in Grand Rapids. And it's been a lifelong dream of mine to have poetry at the Ladies Literary Club. And that is what has been happening for the past 6 months. We've actually been there since November. They've been there since August. Mm-hmm. But it's been a great home for us, the Lit, Penny Loafer, and right now the Penny Loafer needs people's help to keep the Lit open and available for community use.
So let's take all of that apart. I introduce you as the Lit, but it is this National Register of Historic Places on the list, the Ladies Literary Club, located on Sheldon?
Yes, 61 Sheldon Boulevard, and in fact it's right in the Hartside District. Mm-hmm. And our mission is to preserve and activate the historic Ladies Literary Club building as an accessible, inclusive, cultural venue for nonprofits, artists, thinkers, and community builders. We have been a home to the Ford Presidential Foundation, the GR Lit Fest, the Junior League, the GR Original Swing Dance Society, Opera Grand Rapids, Mayor David LeGrand. It's just been a very activated place, and we need a little bit of help right now to get us to a place where we can launch a capital campaign to buy the building.
Interesting. Yes. So buying the building is important for the next steps. So when you say you need help, are we talking mostly treasures?
Yes, treasures. We need treasures. That's a great way to put it. Shelley, thank you. We've been in the building for 6 months. We are a brand new 501c3 nonprofit, and we've celebrated nearly 40 community partnerships since we've developed in that very short time. And while we have a full roster and schedule for events over the next 6 months, but it's not quite enough that we need some financial support to get us over this hump in order to continue doing this wonderful programming for community.
What is the vision with a capital campaign, Christine?
The vision with a capital campaign, we haven't developed the capital campaign yet to buy the building. We just need to get over this hump right away. March 6th is our deadline to sign the lease. Now, that is the current plan. We are working on getting an extension, although we've already had a couple of those, and we're working on getting another one. Because honestly, we still need a little bit of time to align with some foundations. Our mission is great. Our vision is, to create a financially stable cultural hub where history, creativity, and community can converge. And we're looking to raise $25,000 by March 6th. So I think that, people have done the math. If 250 people, give a certain amount, and then, we can actually reach that goal. If 25 people donate 1,000, we can reach that goal. And I think that there is support in Grand Rapids for this in particular. The website, is thepennyloafer.com.
Why is it called the Penny Loafer?
Because Penny Hawk, she is our president and current operations manager at the Lit, and has been really the spearhead for all of this innovation, and her vision is just amazing. And I'm here to represent her and the board. I'm actually currently on the board as well, so I'm doing my best to support this really valuable place that Penny has created. And the Penny Loafer is the current website. We might be moving to a different website in the future, but that's another story. So thepennyloafer.com is where you can donate. And it's all tax deductible because we are a 501c3. If you can spread the word, if you can't afford to donate, we hope that you can at least use your voice to help spread the word.
We donate because we believe in the product. Any other incentives? Are there bricks? Are there opportunities for names on the walls?
We are definitely working on incentives. For instance, a large donor we could name our ballroom after a large donor, especially somebody to help us continue to exist. We've reached out to a number of places, and we're working on finding the correct alignment so that we can continue to, do what we do. But it's such a wonderful place. That stage there, three U.S. presidents have spoken on that stage. And it was founded by women. There are 9 women who founded it, and currently there are 9 women on the board. And that was in 1882, okay? And they existed until 2004 when they finally disbanded and sold the building to Calvin. And then it was converted into a wedding venue, and now it had lain empty until Penny inhabited it and really opened it up for community. So that's what we're working toward, is to continue her vision. And she's been so generous. The Poetry Collective meets there 2 Thursdays a month, the second and fourth Thursdays. At no charge to us, they've just been just so happy to have poetry back in that building.
And yet, we want you busy every night, and the doors need to stay open for that vision to happen. Christine Stevens-Krieger with us. She's a board member of the, of course, Ladies Literary Club, the Lit. Of course, she's our poet laureate as well. So I guess looking into partnerships and other ways to promote a piece of living history that does not need to go silent again.
Oh, absolutely. As far as incentives, the chairs, so they removed all of the chairs that were in the ballroom, and now it's like at the flat table, a bunch of tables. So we have dancing there. We have lots of different events. We can still set up chairs as an auditorium capacity at 300. We have Opera Grand Rapids there. We have theater there. We have poetry. Just it's a wonderful place. And so there used to be plaques on all those chairs, and now those have been preserved under like lacquer at the bar. So I can imagine that we would be able to honor donors to this campaign
in a
similar way.
Yes. Well, have those ideas ready when we call and say, I want to donate, put my name on a chair. How's that?
That's fantastic.
What else is important that we know, Christine? I know there's some urgency here with a March deadline. We know you will make that, and yet we know that there is an importance in keeping a building in Grand Rapids that's been on the National Register of Historic Places alive. So I guess what's your final call to action for us?
Help us preserve and activate this historic Ladies Literary Club building. The Lit at Penny Loafer has been just a wonderful resource and has created this resource for us, for the community, for Grand Rapids, and such a historical, wonderful building. I would love to keep it available for community use.
All right. Where's the website one more time for action item?
ThePennyLoafer.com.
Great. All right, back to work you go. Roses are red, violets are blue. That's a poem, isn't it?
Sure is.
Finish that out. And anything else you need when it comes to that side of your profession as Poet Laureate?
Oh, as Poet Laureate, hey, support the arts. People's individual voices are important to be heard and seen and published and celebrated. So that's my mission as Poet Laureate, and that's my mission on the board of the Lit.
Well, many hats. Save the Lit. Support the Lit. The Lit, a better way to promote. All right, Christine, go get them. Thank you.
Thank you, Shelley.
Come February 23rd, it's the State of the Child, an event to discuss this state of child welfare in West Michigan. Only get the best to talk about this event come Monday. Glad that you are here, Brina T. Meyer, Director of Clinical Services. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Jason LaRue, Director of Residential Services. Good morning to you, Jason.
Thank you for having me as well.
Jason, tell me about Wedgewood Christian Services, the big picture.
Wedgewood has been serving children and families across West Michigan for longer than I've been alive. And we serve children and families at all stages and at all walks of life. We have outpatient therapy. We have stuff that can come into the home. We have residential services for youth that maybe need to come and stay with us, and other services. So at every stage of life, if there's a mental health struggle, if you're overcoming an obstacle, if you're facing something, you don't have to face it alone, because there are placements like Wedgewood that can provide support.
Add to that, if you would, Brina.
Yeah, Wedgewood is known for kind of reaching out to the community and seeing what the needs are and how we can meet those needs. And with that, we tend to reach out to youth, not just adults, not just professionals, but ask youth, what do they need and what do they want to share with those in the community, which really leads us to our State of the Child conference.
Yes. Staying with you on this, Brina, State of the Child, this event, is it annual?
It is. It's our annual conference. This year we are having it at Frederick Meyer Garden on February 23rd. We launched this conference in 2017.
And staying on the topic with you, Jason, how important is it that the community know about our State of the Child in West Michigan?
Well, unlike West Michigan weather, where sometimes we have light winters and sometimes we have heavy winters, there's no such thing as a light year for mental health. Mental health is always present and is always a prominent need. And placements like Wedgewood have services where you can come to Wedgewood to receive help, but State of the Child is an opportunity to extend out into the community and try to create awareness and destigmatize that need for mental health support, and do a lot of teaching and coming alongside with children and families, professionals and teachers and everyone to talk about this important issue.
I want to go through some of the specifics, but in general, Jason, will your audience walk away perhaps with some action items?
Absolutely. We really try every year to take a survey of West Michigan and of participants from last year's conference for what they want to learn about. And so this year we have exciting topics like AI and how that impacts us, anxiety, depression, the impacts of trauma, and other subjects as well.
Brina, this is more than a breakfast, a lunch, or a dinner, although we can squeeze a lot in those times. This is an all-day event. Would you set up the conversation for what is happening Monday?
Yeah, so our event features presentations, panel discussions with community experts, but also a panel discussion led by local teens. We then do breakout sessions addressing kind of the most pressing challenges facing children today. And our keynote speaker this year actually is Time Magazine's Kid of the Year from 2021, which how better to kick off or the end an event that is all about the state of our child, and we have a child closing us out.
Yes. Orion Jean,
yes.
Time Magazine's Kid of the Year. In 2021, was Orion a gentleman?
Yes.
5 years older, so his teen years might be running out. Of course, you can never take that away. Jason, what my generation needs from you is his title. What do you anticipate will be some of his good words?
Yeah, what could be a better title than what my generation needs from you? I think there's a lot of well-intending parents and adults and trusted care providers that are in kids' lives, but a lot of times us as adults don't really know what kids need. Things have changed tremendously from when I was a child way back in the 80s, and we want to connect, but one of the best things that we can do is listen to our children and ask them, what is it like to be a child? What is it like to go to school? You know, what do you need? How can I help? And so this whole process, you know, this topic that Oren is bringing up is asking those questions of our youth and letting our kids tell us what they need, as opposed to us guessing and just providing for them what we think they need.
Yes. You mentioned AI, sex trafficking, and anxiety, also two of the three major topics.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah, absolutely. AI has changed everything in terms of how kids interact nowadays. They're turning to AI for friendship and for therapy and to get help. And it's both exciting, but also really scary because AI is not yet a real person. Trafficking occurs even in a community like West Michigan, where you may not see it on the surface. And then anxiety and depression and trauma is ever present. Brina and I are going to be doing one of those breakout sessions on trauma, as a matter of fact.
As you should. Brina, who do you desire to be in the audience? We know it's coming up quickly.
Yeah, we want anyone and everyone who interact with children at this audience. That's what makes this conference so unique, is we have a lot of conferences in the professional field tailored to certain licensure or to certain specialty, and this conference is different. This is just, if you interact with children or teens, you should be there. Whether you are a caretaker, a caregiver, or a teacher, whether you are a coach, a professional, the goal is that it's for everyone and anyone that wants to know what our children and teens are facing today and how they can take away things to empower those children and teens to deal with daily life challenges.
Yes. And of course, this is at the beautiful Meyer Gardens.
It is. Yes.
So nice backdrop there. Other breakout sessions feature?
Yeah. So we have breakout sessions that are going to not only address life online and healthy relationships. We talked about trauma, anxiety, depression, and AI, but also we're going to have sessions that deal with substance use and what we're seeing today with teens and adolescents and how substances are impacting them.
What else is important, Jason?
And healthy relationships. I think for me, this is the best part of this event, is it is not a behind locked doors, you have to have a license or a certain passcode to get into the training. Mm-hmm. I love attending this event specifically because you can see youth and parents and teachers and local judges and POs and all of these different folks, like Brina said, everyone that intersects with a child coming together. And we don't often get that chance to just sit around a table, have a sandwich, and just talk together about those different perspectives, because all of those different partners are crucial for raising a child and for bringing them up successfully and creating the community that we value so much here in West Michigan. But open communication and healthy relationships is number one.
And after Monday comes and goes, then Bria, it's back to, well, what you do so well, and Jason at Bethany, your wonderful services, Wedgwood Christian Services, and certainly I ask what you feel will be the action item that's taken away on Monday.
I think my number one action item that I hope that the whole community can hear is that they're not alone and that they have a community and a group of individuals that genuinely care about the children, teens, and adolescents in their world, and they are not alone in having to tackle or try to understand life's daily challenges.
Great. And Jason, your good work with, Director of Residential Services with Wedgwood. That's, kids come and they go.
Yep, kids come and go. You know, they come in community and in residential programs. The idea is that there's a season in everyone's life where we need a little extra help. You know, I know in my life, I can look back on those moments where I was facing some difficulty or adversity, and having someone that came alongside me to support meant all the difference. And sometimes that's a friend or a family member, but also it's sometimes someone that has a different perspective or some knowledge or experience that they can offer.
Bring to Team IRD details one more time for Monday on behalf of your State of the Child event, Wedgwood Christian Services.
Yeah, so we look forward to seeing you, and we invite you to join us on Monday, February 23rd at Frederick Meyer Garden. The event is from 7:30 in the morning till 5 in the afternoon. You can find more at www.wedgwood.org/SOTC.
I'm sure the house will be full and yet walking out with important action items. Jason and Brina, thank you.
Thank you.
Well, he's back. Maybe bigger and better. I don't know if that can happen. He
bigger
is.
For sure.
There we go. He is a wonderful host of Jay Schwanke's Life in Bloom. He is Jay Schwanke. He does return the Flower Power Charity Challenge come February 27th. We're talking all about this. And of course, we see you on our PBS, our WGVU Life in Bloom. Oh, Jay Schwanke, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Fine. Thank you for bringing the flowers in.
Of course. Of course. That's the most important part.
The best guest. And we'll talk about why flowers do matter. I know you'll never tire of that. Jay Schwanke's Life in Bloom, still going strong on the TV side of things?
Yes, ma'am. It is season 8 will premiere in April, which will include our 100th episode.
Wow, you've been doing the math. How do you feel about being 100?
It's really pretty amazing. I mean, we've just always kept, you know, as you do. I think you keep the train rolling. More to do.
Hashtag more to do. You got
yeah,
it.
Yeah, and so that's what I was doing. Is we just keep planning the next one. All of a sudden, I was like, this is going to be the 100th episode.
Yes.
So yeah, it's a special celebration too, with a whole bunch of people who have been on the show.
Right. We'll get back you back on when that is time to rock and roll. But you, first of all, for one who's never seen your wonderful Life in Bloom on public television, what are you all about, Jay?
I am all about the health and wellness benefits of flowers and the power that they have to make us feel better, feel less stressed, feel happier, prevent arguments in our homes, enlarge our circles of friends, encourage us to seek medical treatments. It's amazing. There's so many wonderful things, and we feature those in every single episode.
We'll ask how to find out more information as we finish. You are, or maybe I better should ask, are you ready for yet another edition of your Flower Power Charity Challenge?
I am. And it's great. I think that it's wonderful. I've kind of lost track. I think last year might have been 10, maybe.
Yes,
but so
yes.
And Catherine Barron has always been my co-host, and I adore her and love her. And I've always stated I feel safe when Catherine's on the stage with me.
Well, that is probably one of the best compliments you can receive. And she is a rock star. I know that she's hosting your WZZM 13 on your side, has been and will continue to. All right, so let's do the big picture.
So what we wanted to do with this was create a flower-involved event for our community that would benefit local charities. And it would feature local celebrities making an arrangement in 5 minutes for their local charity. And then the crowd cheers them on. And the crowd that makes the largest noise helps that celebrity win $500 for their local charity. But we do have participatory awards, consolations for those people who don't, they get $100. Yes. And that's all provided by our friends at Showspan.
Thank you for that. $100 will get nonprofit good things these days. Wow. Thank you for picking me to be engaged in your Flower Power Charity Challenge.
Thank you for doing it. I'm excited because, number one, you have been such a help to us, and I always love coming and seeing you, and you are a true celebrity in our community. But you're also on Jay Schwanke's Life in Bloom this coming season.
See, the secret's out.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So three of the five contestants are actually on the show this year. So there's you, and you are playing for Circle Theater. We have Steve LaWare from Frederick Meyer Gardens and Sculpture Park, who is playing for the Amway and Meyer Fund for Education. And we have Chef Tramell Hawkins, who is from has a new restaurant opening up called Trust, and Poetry on a Plate, who is playing for Dreams Take Work. So those three people, and some people might know Tramell too from, he does the DTE Grill stage at the Home and Garden Show as well. And he's an amazing chef.
Do you have two more to name?
We have two more to name. So these two have not been on my show yet. So there's that. Josh Albertus from 13 on Your Side, WZZM, and he is playing for Santa Claus Girls of Kent County. And there's this guy here. It's in this building, Jim Rademacher.
He is the best GM.
Correct. He is the best GM. And so he is playing for WGVU Public Media. He's a wonderful friend. He's an amazing guy. He also serves on the American Public Television Board of Directors, which is who distributes our television show, which is, he's just a wonderful, wonderful human. And all of these people are wonderful humans. And so I am so honored to have these five celebrities on stage. What happens is at 6 o'clock.
And we're at the Home and Garden Show, right?
We're at the Home and Garden Show, yes. Home and Garden Show, Friday, February 27th at 6 p.m. We are on the home stage, which when you enter the Home and Garden Show is in the far back left corner right by the restrooms. And you'll hear us by the noise later as this goes on. And we are up there, and these people are going to, it's interesting because everybody kind of worries about making the flower arrangement. They think Steve LaWare might have an advantage,
right,
because he's a horticulturist. But who has the advantage is the person that can coax people there to cheer for them.
Because I can put one rose in the pot and call that my arrangement, and yet if I have all of the season ticket holders from Circle Theater there, I could bring home $500 or to Circle Theater.
Exactly. That's exactly how it works. Remember last year, Wimmy only put one flower in a vase. And so that approach has happened.
Yes.
So, yeah. So we love it. And it's just it's an hour of fun time with flowers and wonderful celebrities and wonderful charities in our in our community.
Hosted by Jay Schwanke, host of Jay Schwanke's Life in Bloom. And, of course, the West Michigan Home and Garden Show, formerly at DeVos Place. That's Friday, February 27th at 6 for this Flower Power Charity Challenge. And, of course, you're creating more. I always like to come back the next day and watch you.
Exactly. So on Saturday, we have two Fun with Flowers. And I'll be showing a sizzle reel from season 8 for everyone to see. So that's going to be wonderful. And at that day, I make arrangements and I give them away to the audience. That's my favorite part. And I always love that the flowers know who they're supposed to go to. And they just kind of give me a little whisper as to where those flowers should go. So I love that.
Would you describe the flowers you brought in today?
I will. So I know someone's favorite color is red. So I did these beautiful little red and white striped miniature carnations with red tulips with a little yellowy orange edge and some daffodils.
I'm sorry, I wore black today.
What a great background. What a great background. So yeah, so it's just, it's lovely to be able to bring a little spring inside because, you know, we've had a long winter.
Yeah.
it's been cold.
I'm glad. I'm looking forward to February 27th and 28th because there's not a 29th. We then move into March.
Correct. 29th is coming. I have a niece who has a birthday on the 29th. And so we always celebrate. I think her eighth birthday is coming up or something like that. So, yeah.
I bet her uncle gives her flowers. There we are.
Absolutely.
What do you leave us with, Jay Schwanke?
I am so honored because WGVU airs our show 5 times in this market. We are on Saturdays at noon on WGVU. We are on Sundays at 11 on Create TV. We are on Tuesdays at 6:30 and 8:30 and 2:30 in the afternoon on Create TV. And we are also on at 4:30 in the morning on Wednesdays, for those of you who are night owls.
Sure.
So, you know, interestingly enough, it's a really good time slot for us. It's a really good time slot, and there's people who are up watching flowers at 4:30, so that's good.
Making a note on that. Sometimes you wake up at 3, kind of wish it was at 3. You ever get the 3 o'clock wake-ups?
Yeah.
That might be a female thing.
At that point in time, you can just put on the PBS app and you can watch any show you want, anytime you want, because we are on the PBS app and we are free on the PBS app.
Well, back to that statement that flowers are good for us mentally, physically, socially, and more. And thanks to you again, your garden, I imagine, is a rock star garden. Okay, see you then. For sure, Friday, February 27th at 6 p.m.
Awesome. Thank you.
How do we find out more about
you? Can't wait to see you.
Oh, I'm going
to
be practicing. Tell me, practicing the group cheer is probably the goal. How do we find out more about you generally?
On our website, ubloom.com. It's the letter ubloom.com, ubloom.com. And you can also watch the series there anytime you want to for free.
Wonderful. And keep water in my with my flowers to keep them as long as I can?
Top it off. You no need to change the water. Just top it off, my dear.
Learn something every chat. Thank you, Jay Schwanke. My next guest has been busy, writing books. Kind of a second career, although you never leave your love for your speech language pathology, which you studied hard for. Barbara Stark Neiman on the line, a Michigander, here to talk about your third book, Isabella's Way. I'm looking forward to finding out about her way and about you. Good morning, Barbara.
Good morning, and thanks for having me.
You're welcome. You're a swimmer, and I think a runner, maybe a swimmer, and have you swam this morning?
I actually have swam this morning. I got up very early and went for a swim so that I'd be ready to talk.
I say that in jest, as my workout time is after my work is over, but that makes you successful as you swim, cycle, fiber art in the beautiful lands of Ann Arbor and Northport, Michigan. And yet you've been doing some writing on the side, and now it's an important part of your life. Congratulations, Barbara.
Thank you so much. I was lucky to have a first career that I loved, and this encore career is a second one that I never dreamed I would be able to get good at or be able to be successful at, so it's been a real joy.
Good. Well, I'm here to spread that joy for our audience, and we know your book is out. Isabella's Way, your third book. Tell me the storyline.
Isabella's Way is about a 14-year-old embroideress who has to sew her way across Portugal, Spain, France, and into Germany in the early part of the 17th century to escape the Spanish Inquisition. She's being pursued by a nefarious church official, and she has the help of some allies, but it's quite a stressful refugee story. She's young, but in the 17th century, 14 years old is pretty much an adult. So she's given a lot of adult responsibility, and she's part of a clandestine network of safe houses designed to conduct people who are trying to escape Portugal because they were conversos, which were Jews who've been forcibly converted to Catholicism, but were not trusted to actually be true Christians and were therefore persecuted, as well as people who never gave their Jewish faith up and needed to escape the Inquisition.
Tell me more about the mysterious woman that arrives with the message.
The mysterious woman is a dye maker and an herbal healer who comes from Spain. She is part of this network. She has her own backstory and her own love story. And she was contacted and asked to help to conduct this girl whose mother has died and whose father is trying to set up a new life for them in Hamburg, Germany. Hamburg, Amsterdam, Antwerp, Venice, these were the only safe places for these escapees other than the New World. Many of them, of course, came to the Americas. But he was in Hamburg, her father, and he arranged to have this woman figure out a way to get Isabella out of Portugal and safely conduct, as long as she's also helping others with her embroidery of secret symbols on banners, pieces of clothing that would signify whether a place was safe or not safe for this kind of underground railroad of safe houses.
Are there themes you'd like your readers to take from this read?
I'm always interested. We can't really always control what comes at us, but what interests me in all my books is how we summon resilience, how we find allies in unexpected places, how it is that we cope with what gets thrown at us, whether it defeats us or whether we can summon the resilience and the positivity needed to succeed and get past some of the unwelcome things that come our way. That's kind of that's my main theme in all of my books. And in this place in particular, I'm interested in just the concept, because refugees are kind of a hot and unwelcome topic these days. And so I'm interested in looking. My own parents were refugees from Nazi Germany. I sort of have it in my DNA. And I actually, my great-grandmother's family actually made the trip that Isabella makes from Portugal to Hamburg, Germany. So I was interested in refugee stories and how refugees find refuge, how and where and with whom.
I like this note. You employ your talent and fierce determination to actually, you have Isabella employ her talent and fierce determination to find her way. Is there a bit of Barbara in this character?
I wish. I think that there's a bit of Barbara in most of my characters in some way or another. But again, it's a legacy. I feel like I'm part of a legacy of people who made hard journeys and struggled to find meaning amidst sometimes the horror of what they went through. And I watched some pretty good role models for that in my own life. So maybe some of that came through in Isabella.
I know your first book was a historical novel, which I see your husband read three times. The contemporary novel, Hard Cider, is your second. Your historical novel that we speak of, Isabella's Way, published in 2025, out and about. Is there a fourth on the list?
Well, right now I'm working on some smaller projects that have had to take a back seat while I was writing and preparing Isabella for publication. So I don't have a fourth book yet, but I've been asked many times to write a sequel to Hard Cider, which takes place right here in Michigan. It's a story about a woman of a certain age who starts a hard apple cider business on the Leelanau Peninsula. And people have asked for a sequel, so I think about that a little bit. I'm not sure.
Are you out and about? Ultimately, you'll do some book signings, and basically the book is available for our perusal?
It is available wherever books are sold, and it is being distributed by Simon & Schuster, so it should be available to any bookstore.
Nice.
Or library. I've done quite a number of book events since the book came out in September. I'm doing a couple of more at various libraries around the state and around. My son lives in Illinois, so I'm going to his library. I love presenting at libraries. I will be in Grand Rapids the end of March doing a presentation at a synagogue there. And I'm going to Cleveland. So, yeah, I'm getting around.
Yes, be careful what you wish for. Well, thank you to our mutual friend Jean for the hookup. Continued success to you, Barbara Stark Neiman. One more time, your website is?
My website is www.barbarastarkneiman, and that Neiman part is spelled N-E-M-O-N, barbarastarkneiman.com.
Isabella's Way with one L. Thank you, Barbara. Good to speak with you.
Thanks so much, Shelley.
Your inspiration for the day, according to Pablo Neruda, love is so short, forgetting is so long. There you go. Hope you enjoyed the show. I'm Shelley Irwin.